regardless of how she feels. Amen. It don't have anything to do with our feelings. It has everything to do with our faith. Amen, Melissa. It's great to be in God's house. I'd rather be here than in Cape Fear Hospital that any day. Amen. Or anywhere else. Thank God for the privilege. I've had a wonderful week. We preached at the annual meeting of the association Monday night. Sherry and I left that night to go up for some training, and we didn't get there till about 12:30, quarter to one. But just got our cups filled, and then went off this weekend with the men of our church, and what a blessing that was. You guys just blessed my heart, and we need to do that more. You know, that was just an awesome, awesome time. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 9, a vision for the lost, a vision for the lost. It's been a busy week, so I wrote this sermon for the association, and I thought, well, I might as well give it to my church. Someone asked me this week, preacher, why do you preach what you preach? Because the Lord leads me to. Okay, and it's very simple. I believe God's given me that, and I want to preach it to you. Now, I've got some announcements to make, but I'm going to announce them in my sermon because they go along with my sermon. This is the week of prayer for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, Together for His Kingdom. And you received an insert in your bulletin, so please pray for our missionaries. And please give toward the offering. It all goes toward our home missionaries. We're talking about America here. And thank you so much for how you do give the missions. I got a nice email from the folks from the memory stick, the Bible stick. What a blessing they said that was to them. So thank you for giving to that. All right. Remember, Easter's coming. And one thing I'm going to talk about is the importance of sharing your testimony. And we're going to ask you, are y'all listening? Say amen. To give an Easter testimony. A testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is it real or not? How does the lost world know that it really happened? Well, guess what? There is no debate. There's no argument. It happened in you if you're saved. Amen? And so I'm asking you to make no less than a two-minute video, real short, not about your past, but more about what Jesus has done, okay? An ABC testimony. You know what an ABC testimony is? This is simple. It needs to be appropriate. Don't talk about all the bad things in your life. Talk about what Jesus has done for you, okay? That's appropriate. Be brief. It needs to be brief. C, it needs to be Christ-centered. If it don't focus on Jesus, then how are we going to help other people come to Christ? So this is what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to keep pushing this all the way through Easter. You say, well, I'm an older person. I don't even know how to make a video. Well, guess what we have in our church? We have a lot of students. We have a lot of younger people that will help you. So here's my challenge for you if you've never done it. Write out your testimony. Just write it out. And let them video you. You can be reading it. Okay? And nobody will see that you're reading it because the video will be just on your face. You say, well, I don't want to video myself. Well, then give your testimony to one of these young people and they'll do it for you. They'll just read it and share and tell people this is your testimony. And by the way, church, this is important. How can we reach 5 people for Christ? I'm trying to help you, okay? And I'm going to show you how you're going to do that today in talking about a vision for the lost. So if you have your place in your Bibles, Matthew 9:36, let's all stand in the reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. But when he saw the multitudes, you know, I read a scripture like that, and my first thought is, God help us as churches that we don't want to reach people for Christ. I hear people say, well, I don't want our church to grow. Jesus saw the multitudes. And look up here, folks. You want God to bless you. Now listen to me. You want God to care for you, then you need to care about the things that God cares about. And he cares for people. Thank God he cared enough for you. Amen? But Jesus saw the multitudes. He was moved with what, church? Compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep with no shepherd. They were lost. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, let's pray. Father, we pray for laborers. God, we pray that people would make themselves available to you. God, you saved us with a purpose in mind, and that was to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. May we be diligent, and may we be available to share that hope. God, use us this Easter to make a difference in many lives through Facebook. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Someone said, Pastor Ronnie, I didn't think you liked Facebook. Oh, I love it to share the gospel. I hate it to share the gossip. Amen. Oh, I love it. I love it. Hey, and you know why I don't go on Facebook? Because I don't want to read anybody's gossip. I don't. If it's something that's positive, I'll read it. I'll be honest with you. Even if you wrote it, if it's junk, I don't even read it. Amen. It don't deserve my time. I'll tell you, this is a little pet peeve of mine. I know you enjoy eating. You don't have to prove that, but you don't have to show me what you ate. I mean, yeah. I don't know why people do that. I guess they're happy to have a good meal. But anyway, why did God save you? So that you could make a difference in reaching someone else for Him. Amen. He didn't save you to go to heaven. He didn't save you to escape hell. And here's the proof that if you're truly saved, you can't keep it to yourself. You're going to get a case of can't help it. Friday night, I've got 9 other guys that will witness this. There was this black man in that service that had himself a spell. I mean, he stood up, woo, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, I love you, Lord. And he just started having himself a fit, and all those guys said, well, glory, have yourself a fit then. And he said, I got a case of can't help it. I know y'all think that I'm having a fit, but I can't help but thank Him. I can't help but praise Him. I can't help it. I think we need a case of can't help it. Amen. I just think all of us, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm not ashamed of it. I don't mind. I tell you what, I was for that brother. I was over there saying, you help yourself, brother. Have a spell. You said, preacher, I don't think we ought to get that excited. You know, we get excited about basketball. Unless you're a Duke fan. I mean, no, excuse me. We get excited when our team wins. We want our team to win. And you know, Sherry and I were talking about coming over to church this morning, that you know most people can tell you all about their ball team. They can name every player. They can explain how the game works. They can tell you about all the statistics. They can tell you how we're going into the final four and all that. We're at 8 now. See, I don't keep up with it. But anyway, all this stuff. But they can't tell you a thing about God's Word. They can't even tell you the Ten Commandments. They can't tell you the names of the disciples. They know very little. You know why? Because we're more into the world than we are into the Word. We really are. I mean, I'm being honest. I'm not trying to make you mad. But this is something that God's really calling my name. And I've heard God really speak this week. And here's what, I ain't got a sermon ready yet, but here's the way I feel led to go. I wanted to preach it today with the baptism. In fact, those of you who are baptized, would you stand up for a minute? Are you in here? No? All right. Praise the Lord for all three. Now stand up for just a second. You have been identified with Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to start preaching. You identified with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Do you understand that when you went under that water, you died to the old person you were? You came out of that water, you've been resurrected to a new life. So you are now identified, just like you have a fingerprint like no one else. That can identify you. Now, Jesus has identified you. He's got His hand on you. May He bless you for following the Lord in obedience today. You may be seated. Thank you for that. Church, we need to understand our identity in Christ, but then I'm going to take it a step further. Here's what God's calling me. It's time. And I am mad today. I'm mad. I'm mad at the devil. Because he's been taking too much from us. He sees this world as his kingdom. The Bible says he's the God of the air. And he says he's the God of this world. And I see how the devil is robbing God's people. And so I'm preaching this series of your identity in Christ in kingdom authority. And what I mean by that is that we've got to start replacing the things that you used to do, the things of the world. I've got to teach you how to have authority over the devil. Because if you don't take authority in your life, the devil will.
and church, Gord Springs, if we don't take authority in Jesus' name, the devil will. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You give him a little bit, he'll take a whole lot. So the thing that you and I have got to do, we got to start taking a stand. And so what I'm going to be teaching is this: you can't be over until you're under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's all just what the Lord's given me. And I want, and I'm preaching this going into Easter because we've been identified with a living Savior. Amen. He's not dead. And I believe we ought to be alive. All right, let me just give you some statistics and I'll move right along. By the way, talking about vision, let me just share this because while that's up there on the screen, a vision for the lost, that is the reason. That is the reason, period, exclamation mark. That is the reason we want to build a building here.
That's right.
That's the only reason we want to build. You say, well, why do you need to build? Because people are lost. Yeah. I need that to sink in for a moment because I think we get confused, we get mixed up. People need the Lord. You say, Pastor, have you thought? Yes, I have. If every person in this church reaches 5 in a year, what that would result in 4 years? Sure, that's 2,000 people coming to Christ in 4 years. You say, that's impossible. Well, Jesus died for every soul. And the Bible says when the church started, 3,000 souls were saved. It started with a prayer meeting up in our upper room. And the result of those disciples gathering in prayer, revival broke out and 3,000 souls were saved. You say, well, preacher, are you trying to get our church to be a mega church? Not at all. I want it to be God's church. It's not about whether it's a small church. I don't really care about the size of a church. I really don't. I mean, I care about souls more than I do size. That size I don't think about it. I think more about there are people that need the Lord. Are y'all listening to me this morning? And we need to have a heart like Jesus said. We need to see what Jesus saw right here. We need to say what Jesus said right here, right here, right here. And we need to do what Jesus did. Here's some statistics I want to give you right quick. This is mind-blowing. This came from these folks. Now, North American Mission Board, this is what they said. 579 million people in North America, over 195 million plus of the population do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. On an average, listen to this, this is NAM, these folks right here, they said 3 out of 4 people you meet need Christ. Of the churches last year in the Southern Baptist Convention, 32% baptized one person. 59%, talking about the whole church now, 59% of our churches baptized 5 or less. 77% baptized 10 or less. 77% only reached 10 people for a whole year for Christ. Only 23% of churches baptized 11 or more. There were 23% of Southern Baptist churches which baptized no one. That's from the North American Mission Board Research Center. How many are lost in our community? How many need Christ? I'll tell you this, this community is growing at a rate far, far more than this church is. This church is not doing nothing to reach the lost compared to what you say, oh, preacher, we do a lot here. But folks, I'm going to tell you, if we had the heart of God, what would happen? That's what I want to preach about. Number one, we need to learn to exalt the Savior. If we're going to reach these 5 people, and I'm going to teach you right now, how are we going to reach? I'm going to tell you, we've exalted self. We've exalted Satan in our lives. Every one of us have. Oh, yeah, you lived for the devil at one time. It's time to learn to exalt the Savior. Amen? Notice the context of the verses of chapter 9. Here's the context. Jesus is becoming very popular among the people. Verse 26, and the fame thereof went abroad unto all the land. Talking about Jesus, verse 31, his fame is in all the country. If we're to exalt the Savior, we got to see what Jesus saw here with seeing the multitudes. We got to feel what Jesus felt with his compassion. We've got to do what Jesus did, and that is to equip the laborers for the harvest, and we need to say what Jesus said. Okay, let's say it. Word. Okay? He gave them His Word. A paradigm is a pattern or a way of looking at things. On the one hand, I want to celebrate and appreciate the past so I can see the present. Let me explain what a paradigm is. So like I'm looking for Gorge Springs Baptist Church, and I've got a map of Raleigh. Okay, so I'm looking at the map of Raleigh, and I'm trying to find Gorge Springs Baptist Church. You think I'm going to find it in the city of Raleigh? Even you don't think I'll find it. No, I won't. You're right. I will not find Gorge Springs Baptist Church. But listen to me. What if I get the right map? What if I get a map of Harnett County? Would I be closer to finding Gorge Springs Baptist Church? Better than that, what if I found a map of Spring Lake? Here's my point. You got to have the right map. Folks, the Word of God is the right map. We've got the right word for people, amen? And we've got the directions, not from some man, but from God, that tells us to go into the highways and hedges and compel the lost to come in. You say, Preacher Ronnie, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what that looks like. D.L. Moody was a great man of God, a great evangelist. He was in demand in his day as a speaker. He was to preach in this great big coliseum. He thought he'd check the mic. So he goes to the mic, no one's in the church, and he just quotes John 3:16. That's all he did, just quoted John 3:16. True story, look it up. A janitor was in the balcony mopping the floor. D.L. Moody didn't see him. All D.L. Moody did was quote John 3:16. The janitor walked down the aisle and told Dr. Moody, I want to be saved. Friend, the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Can I get an amen? We just need to give them the Word. You don't have to come up with a new word. You don't have to give them your words. Give them God's Word. It works. The Word of God will help us to see what Jesus saw. We need to see what Jesus saw. And what Jesus saw was people without a Savior. Here's what Jesus said, talking about exalting Him. He said, are y'all listening? When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. When the church gets their eyes off themselves and their problems and focuses on what Jesus said is most important, then they'll do what Jesus said to do. Here's what Matthew 9:13 says. For I am, same chapter, look at verse 13. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. As we are in God's Word right now, as we're in worship right now, we will get the vision of who He is and what He wants to do in us. We just need to see Jesus today. Can I get an amen? I'm going to tell you something. Someone said, well, how do you witness? Take a good look at Jesus and tell everybody what you see. Amen? He's a Savior. Amen? Did He save you? Then you have a testimony that cannot be debated. It cannot be excused. No one can argue your testimony. I'm asking you just to take a few minutes out of your busy schedules between now and Easter to do a 2-minute or less video of how Jesus saved you. Put it on Facebook. Yes, we're going to make Facebook God's book. Put it on Facebook. You say, Preacher, I don't want the world to know that I'm a Christian. Well, then will you please come at the invitationals? I need to help you come to Christ. Amen? You're not saved. A faith that's not worth sharing is a faith not worth having. Amen? If you're not willing to share your faith, I doubt you've got it. Maybe that's why you don't share it. You don't have it. I've got a couple of my deacons that said, Pastor Ronnie, I'm just not like you. I'm not like Mr. Ray Mason. I'm just not the kind of person that will confront people one-on-one. Then do it with your, I'm giving you every reason here. Do it with your phone. You don't have to look at nobody. Just look at the phone. The phone's smarter than you are. And just say, hey, I want to tell how Jesus saved, and just look in it, you know? When I was a teenager and Paul Jones, bless his heart, he was gone all the time for revivals. He's always been an evangelist, but he was my pastor. And he would say, Ronnie, would you fill in at the radio station? Our church had a daily radio program. That was the most boring thing. I had to preach to a wall every day. I mean, I was there at the mic, and there was a wall. Right in front of me was a wall. That's a hard thing to do, to preach to a wall. But I would do that oftentimes. Get to the phone. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. And here's what I'm going to do for you. All right, this is going to work. If I find out that someone comes to this church, and they walk this aisle because they've heard your testimony, and I'm going to be asking people, did you hear a testimony on Facebook? And they said, yeah, and it was so-and-so. I'm going to say, all right, so-and-so, that's your one. That's your two. And you could lead five people to Christ and not even know it. You say, well, preacher, how's that going to work? You get them here, I'll lead them. Amen? I mean, hey, you get the fish to come in, I'll clean them. We'll let Jesus clean them, okay? I'll point them to Christ and his blood will wash them. I'm just telling you, folks, all we got to do is just let people know that there's hope in Jesus Christ. And this book is a book of hope. And then works. I've already got ahead of myself in a way. Notice what he says. And he uses who? He uses you and I, laborers. Laborers are people who work. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I must exalt the Savior wherever I go. When all of God's people work together, it indeed exalts the Savior. Can I get an amen? Amen. I've been preaching my heart out to you. Someone asked me, preacher, do you think we're not in unity? Not like we could be. I'm telling you, Jesus is worth it though. Why should we work together? For the cause of Christ. Amen. To build his kingdom. The only reason we don't work together, as I preached last Sunday, preached my heart out, don't know if you got it or not, we give the devil the credit, we give the devil the glory when we don't work together. We give God the glory when we work together. When we work together, it says something to a lost and dying world. People want to be blessed. They don't want a mess. And it's a mess when people can't work together. Amen? But God wants to use us to reach the lost. John 13:36, by this all men will know you're my disciples. How you do what, church? How you love one another, how you treat one another. And if we can't treat each other right in here, we're not going to reach any of those people out there. Do y'all believe that or not?
Amen.
I just believe everything. You say we need, you know why we can't work together a lot of times? Because we're more concerned about ourselves than we are anybody else. Yeah, what's in it for me? Things don't work for me. The preacher preaches too loud, preaches too long, he's too excited, he's too dead. I've learned something. I'm just going to be me because you can't satisfy nobody. Amen. I'm not here to satisfy people. Are y'all listening? We got to decide, who do we want to satisfy? Amen. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Are you? All right. Now, it's going to get real quiet in here. The next W is wallet. I'm not going to ask you what's in your wallet. I'm going to ask you who's in your wallet. I got the kids' attention. They're laughing. You know the commercial? What's in your wallet? Well, who is in your wallet? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He really is saying where you put your money is where your heart will be. Amen? We can exalt the Savior by giving to missions. Listen to this statement. When a church gives to missions, they are more like Jesus. Mission giving is one of the most unselfish things you can do.
Amen.
100% of every penny given to this mission offering goes to the missionary, and not one penny stays at this church. You say, well, how's that going to bless Gord Springs? Because we were obedient. God's going to bless us. And I believe that all in my heart. You say, preacher, do you give to every mission offering? I give to every mission offering. I don't believe I can lead you to do what I don't do. And I'm going to tell you who's, I don't know how much money I've got in my wallet right now, but I know who's in my wallet. I haven't counted. I may not have but a dollar or two. I got a wife, you know, but anyway, I borrow from her. But who is in your wallet? Huh? I followed the Carolina Panthers. Jerry Richardson is the owner of the Carolina Panthers. I've been mad at him for a good little bit now. He gave $10 million to the UNC Charlotte 49ers football program. The reason I've been upset with Mr. Richardson, he gave $10 million to the UNC Charlotte 49ers, where my son graduated from, but then they turned right around and beat Campbell University 57-7. I graduated from Campbell. I wish he'd have given $10 million to Campbell. That would have been nice. I wish he'd have given $10 million to our church. We'd already have that building built. You see, you put your money where your heart is. Thought it'd get quiet in here. Who's in your wallet? And then, fourth of all, witnessing. We're trying to exalt the Savior. Witnessing exalts the Savior. We must love and lead every person to meet the Savior. Now, I want to encourage you, so I'm going to encourage you to learn this woman's name. Her name is Dorcas. You'll find it in Acts chapter 9. Dorcas in impacted her city by doing deeds of kindness. Don't ever think you're a second-class Christian because you don't proclaim Christ like Peter or Paul. Discover your own method, then get out of your seat and use the method God has given you for the glory of God. Live by faith, not by fear. The last thing that was said about the early New Testament church was that the Lord added unto the church. They were not worried about getting new additions. They were more concerned about praying and serving and caring and giving and loving and honoring and praising and sharing. And because they were wrapped up in that holiness, God sent revival and souls were saved. I don't know why we're so blinded that we can't see that today. God will do the same here that He did there. He will. We just got to get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes on the Savior. You exalt the Savior when you got your eyes on Him. Second of all, moving quickly, you got to equip the saints. He says in verse 37 and 38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I said the laborers are few. But pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. We need a passion for souls at Gorge Springs Baptist Church. I need to have a passion. You know why I am passionate? Look up here. Because I believe in the resurrected Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for all men. I'm passionate. And I believe if you can honestly say you've got compassion for souls, you'll have a passion for souls. What should move us? The same thing that moved Jesus. What moved Jesus? The compassion he had for the multitudes. To love one another and to love the lost to Jesus, that's compassion. To be moved with compassion literally means this in the Greek language. Here's that word compassion. Let me give you the meaning of it. Here's what Jesus felt. Now here's the English meaning of that Greek word. Heartsick, burden, brokenhearted over the lostness of his city and nation. Now let me ask you something. I don't mean to sound sacrilegious, but if you were God, could you just sort of follow me now? If you were God, which church would you bless? Would you bless the church that was just saved and satisfied and their commission? And I've heard this commission. It's been given to me in the past, not here, but another church told me, Pastor, just take care of what we got. Jesus left the 99 for that one. I told Sherry this week, we heard a song. Or maybe the preacher said this. I don't know who said it. I heard it this week. He'll never retire because there's one more lost person out there. I don't have a retirement plan because there's one more lost person out there who needs Jesus. I have a passion for souls. What about you? Which church would you bless? The church, saved, satisfied, their commission is to take care of the status quo. Or would you bless the church that is all about the Great Commission? They have a genuine love and a compassion for souls. They're equipped to lead others to Jesus. Which church would you bless? You'd bless the soul-winning church. I mean, if you gave your son to die, hey, right? Shed his precious blood, crucified on a cruel cross, and he went through all that just for you sinners. Which person, which church, if you were God, you would bless? We need to feel what Jesus felt. He had a compassion for people. Second of all, we need to prepare for souls. We must be prepared to reach the lost. Here's vision. You want to talk about vision? If we reach the lost people just within, I'm going to say it, a mile of this church, we'd be out of room today because we don't have any vision here at Gord Springs. We really don't. I'm going to be honest with you. We don't have any vision. I love you. But this community has grown much more than this facility has. I see some people looking at me like, that makes me mad. Well, good. We need to get mad about our condition or we won't do nothing about it. I'm upset about that. I need to be upset. We need to be prepared to reach lost people. Amen? You're going to grow a Sunday school class. Don't you need a room big enough to put them in? Yep. Amen? I mean, I'm already thinking about this discipleship class that we're talking about doing, Gordy, and we're in a senior class, and we've changed that room about three or four times since I've been there. I've never seen a church that can put in a wall, take out a wall, judge my house, you know, put in a wall. Man, we're good at that. We're real good. I hope we run out of room the first Sunday. I hope that eventually, where's Gordon at? There's Gordon. I got to tell you something about Gordon since I've brought attention to him. Gordon died. Isn't that right, Gordon? I saw it on Facebook. Did you die this week or last week? Was it this week? yesterday. Somebody, he's from New York, right? Somebody went on Facebook and said, I express my heartfelt sympathies. They got the names mixed up, and Gordon found out he was dead. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you've been resurrected like Gordon has, amen, you got a testimony, amen. I mean, we've got a man that literally has been resurrected from the dead sitting right here today, amen. Gordon, our Savior is a great Savior. He resurrects the dead, amen. And because of that, we need to be prepared. We need to make room. Hey, look up here, folks. I don't have a grave plot. I'm not prepared to go into a grave. I believe our Lord is soon to return. I believe he's coming. I'm preparing for going straight up, not going straight down. Amen? Amen. My mom, she's 90 years old. Love her, love her, love her, love her, love her, love her. She's already put my name on all the stuff she wants me to have. Bless her heart. I give her stuff. And she says, well, I'll put your name on it. When I die, it's yours. I gave it to you, Mom. She's got her grave paid for. Everything's paid. Funeral plan. Everything's paid for. I don't have a penny on nothing because I'm not planning on staying here. You say, that's foolish on your part. No, it's not. I literally believe Jesus is coming today. I want to live like that. Amen. I'm not going to waste my money on a grave plot. Amen. Prepare for souls. Prepare. You know what? You may not know this, but I've had the privilege of being trained in almost everything Southern Baptists have. Here's what my training is. I'm trained in CWT, got that in seminary, continuing witnessing training. I'm certified to teach the Lay Evangelism School, EE Evangelism Explosion, Win School, One Day Soul Winning class, the faith training, and the video, Jesus video project. You know what? All that's no good. Let me tell you how to do it real quick. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I've had all that training, but if I'm not willing to follow Jesus, I won't be a fisher of men. Amen? I'm trying to move quickly, but let me get your attention on this right quick. I want you to become a fat church. For some of us, that's not a problem. Gordy, be quiet. All right. Fat. Because this is how we're going to prepare. Now, look, I want you to be fat. Sherry's going to teach the choir this. Fat. Faithful. In all that we do, let's be faithful. We need some faithful people if we're going to reach people. Amen? Amen. We need available people. You know what? We got to all make ourselves available for God to use us. Amen? And here we're sitting right here now. Are y'all still with me? Have I lost you? T, we got to be teachable. If you're not willing to learn how to lead the lost, you never will. Prepare for souls. Be fat. Be faithful to do it. I promise you in the authority of this book, if you're faithful to share the word of God with people, people will get saved. Amen. Do you want to lead some? Wouldn't it be awesome that God would use you to lead a person to Christ, that God would use you to keep one person out of hell? Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Oh, didn't it bring tears to your eyes when Matt baptized Noah? Oh, that was such a touching moment that God would use. But what did Matt do? But turn it right around and say, thank you, church, for being available, to be in an environment, in a place with a youth pastor and others that could help my son come to Jesus. Thank God that somebody was available, Matt.
Amen.
Thank God his daddy could stand there and baptize his son. Woo! Believe I have myself a fit. That's what it's all about. Amen. Being faithful, available, and teachable. I want to be excited about Jesus. I've got a reason to be excited. He saved me. I want to help to prepare room for others to be saved. Amen. And then we got to pray for souls. We got to pray for souls. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Jesus is saying that the souls are ready to be harvested. We need to pray for the souls of the laborers. That's what he's saying. Praying for the souls of the laborers to have a heart for the lost to be saved. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, here's the harvest, now go. Instead, he says, here's the harvest, now pray. Why did he do that? Listen quickly. Much prayer is much power, little prayer is no power. Little prayer is little power, and no prayer is no power. Why did Jesus instruct us to pray? Because he knew we couldn't do it without his power. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. We need to pray for people to leave our church. Not lead to go to another church, but to pray that they would go into the highways and hedges and compel the lost to come in. I thought I'd get your attention on that one. Pray that people will get out of the four walls of the building, because folks, why did God send you students? How many students here? How many is in school? 12 and below. Raise your hand. Oh, more than I thought. You are sent out of this church as missionaries every day. And your mission field is your school. Amen? Can you make a difference in your school? Yes, you can. You say, well, I don't go around like you are, Preacher Ronnie. I don't tell everybody about Jesus. Well, I don't think I'm going to get you in trouble. Let's see, Michelle. Am I going to get them in trouble if I ask them to carry their Bible? Can you carry your Bible? You can't carry your Bible. You can? Just carry your Bible. You don't have to open it. You don't have to read it. But I did that every day. You say, you're just a religious fanatic. No, I'm a fanatic for Jesus. Every day, from the ninth grade to the 12th grade, I had my Bible on the top of my books. Every day, I did. Started morning devotions in my high school, for the whole high school. Had myself a ball with those kids. We averaged 40 to 50 every morning we met and had morning devotions in the auditorium. We had people get saved. I'm telling you, look. We've allowed the devil to come into our school, our educational system, and now we have to have a security, a policeman, because the devil rules in our schools. I'm going to try my best to get this church to say that Jesus rules in our school. Amen. When Jesus was ruling, you didn't have to have a policeman. You didn't have to have, hey, there weren't all this trouble and all these, all the bullying and all the outright hatefulness. I believe we can be a witness if we'll take back what the devil has robbed us of. And school ought to be a safe place to learn. Amen? Amen. It was when Jesus was there. I've got to finish. I don't even know where I'm at, but we got to pray for souls. Last thing, we got to evangelize the sinner. I love 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to teach you right now how to lead a person to Christ. Number one, loss. You got to get a person lost before you can get them saved. There's too many people who are members of churches who are lost. They've been baptized. They're lost. I'm going to tell you how you know they're lost. They have no desire for the things of God. They don't read their Bibles. They don't pray. There's no evidence of Christ. Let me tell you something. If you were arrested for being a Christian, could they find you guilty? For most people, they couldn't. And I'm going to tell you why I'm preaching on kingdom authority, and I'm preaching on this, because it's time that we get identified, because I'm going to tell you, ISIS and the Muslims are going to make you, you're either going to stand up for Jesus or you're going to become one of them. I predict in America, you will be faced with that one day. You will either become a Muslim or a Christian. I believe that's coming to America. Because the Muslims, their one goal is to take over America. That's the truth. Lost, scattered as sheep without a shepherd. We have to learn to reach one person at a time. To evangelize the sinner, we got to help him get lost first. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Number two, laborers. I've already mentioned that, but here's what I want to give you here. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. It reads that in verse 5 of chapter 10. It's interesting. These 12 Jesus sent forth. You know what he's saying? Jesus answered their own prayers. However, the ones he commanded to pray for laborers became the laborers. They were the workers themselves. These are the ones Jesus sent forth, house to house, home to home, sharing the good news and winning the loss. I love Isaiah 6:8. It says, here I am, send me. Last, I'm done. Number three is love. The harvest. We must love the lost to Jesus. Just got to love people. Here's what God gave me to give the association. I don't know if it went over good there or not. I hope it hits you like a ton of bricks. Are y'all listening? I'm done. Can I get your undivided attention right now? I'm going to teach you, because people ask this question. What gives you the right to push your faith on me? What gives you the right in school? What gives you the right to tell? And by the way, students, to my understanding, you can talk to another student about Jesus. What gives you the right? What right do you have to go out and tell other people about your faith? It's because you love people. Sorry, brother, didn't mean to spit on you. You love them. Yes. Do you love them enough?
Yes.
Aren't you glad we loved you enough here so you could come to Jesus? Aren't you glad somebody, Noah, aren't you glad somebody loved you, man? You know why? You know why I'm keeping y'all after 12 right now? Because I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. There is no there's no pretense here. I have nothing to hide. This is the gospel truth. Yeah. Folks, if you love people, you'll tell them about Jesus. Yeah. If somebody's house was on fire, you'd stop and say, man, your house is on fire. Get out of the house. Right? You do that. Well, folks, people's houses are on fire. Their lives are on fire. They're going to an eternal hell. Love them enough to say, get out. Get out. Get out. Now, because time is running out. Folks, will you love people? Oh, we are so good. Oh, we're good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son just for me. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. He gave his only begotten son for everybody, for the world. Jesus didn't die for Ronnie Stewart. He died for everybody. I'm not exclusive. And here's my attitude about me. If he can save me, I am totally convinced he can save anybody. I've convinced, I didn't deserve anything but hell. But he loved me enough. And so I'm going to love you enough to give an invitation. You know, Baptist churches have stopped doing what we're about to do. Southern Baptist churches do not give invitations. As long as I preach the gospel, I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to love people enough to say, you know what, if you don't know Jesus, if you're walking down this aisle right now and say, yes, I want to come to Christ, I'm going to pray with you, and you can be saved today. The Bible says that if you confess your sin, Jesus Christ will forgive you and confess. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How many of you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Everybody. Well, then you can be saved because he's alive. Yes. He wants to live in you. Let's all bow our head. Father, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'm not ashamed to tell the world I love you. And that's what gives me the right to go out and tell everybody about you, because I love them enough to tell them the truth. I pray today, God, that this church will be a church that's in love with Jesus Christ, and we have a passion. We have a compassion for the lost. Help us to love them to Jesus. Lord, if there's someone today that don't know you, may today be the day of salvation. I pray today they'll come to Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.